Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Father, we love you. We come to you right now. You are our safe place. You are a refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. We look to you, Lord, in the midst of a world that is filled with darkness. We look to you in this world of global pandemic, in this world of sickness and illness, in this world of economic struggle and strife, in this world of racism and murder and hate. This is a world, Lord, that we live in that we're reminded of each day is filled with darkness, and yet your light shines in the darkness. And yet your light, Lord, your light, Jesus Christ, you shine in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overwhelm you. And I pray right now for our church and for the people of God all over the world that we would know that the darkness cannot overwhelm the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, even in this time right now, that your light would shine brightly, that the light of your word and your truth would shine brightly. It would be a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. And I pray, Lord, right now, wherever your church is, wherever the people of our church are sitting or watching or listening right now, that you would minister a light to us and teach us to obey and teach us to serve and teach us to love. I pray that right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. This message now for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, church, we're going to jump right into God's word this morning. The title of this morning's message is this, a set free to serve. We're still in our series called Never Alone, rediscovering the necessity and power of life together. What does life together look like? Today, we're going to see that life together is made up of people that are set free by Jesus Christ to serve. So I want you to take your Bibles right away and go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 is where we're going to be. One verse is what we're going to expound on today. And you know, and I know in this church that we can get a whole sermon out of just one verse. And God has something for us today. Set free to serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And this is what it says. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," watch this, loved ones, "but through love, serve one another." This is the word of the Lord. Let me read it one more time. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love," here's the exhortation, here's the calling, "through love, serve one another." All right, with your Bibles open, maybe a notepad in hand and a pen in hand, this is where I want us to start this morning. Through Jesus Christ, you and I, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, we have been set free. Write this down now, from serving ourselves. That's where I want us to start this morning, because that's where our text tells us. Notice it again in verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Now, I want to give us some context, because we don't just parachute into scripture randomly, but we want to understand what's going on here, that the main theme of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians is freedom in Jesus Christ. In fact, on the screen for you, I want to point out to you one of the key verses of Galatians. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says this, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What is this all about? Well, you need to understand that the Galatian churches were founded upon the teaching that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, not by works, so that no one would boast. But very quickly, in this context that Paul is writing to, very quickly, false teachers, and specifically a group called the Judaizers, began to harass the church in Galatia with false teaching. Now, the Judaizers were a group of strict Jews who had claimed to embrace Jesus Christ, but who were adamant that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was not enough in and of itself for salvation. That's a big problem, loved ones. That's a big error. They insisted that observance to the Mosaic law, that specifically in this context, observance to rules and rituals, but specifically observance of circumcision, must be added in order to be saved. And in the Apostle Paul's own words, he is astonished at the error. He's so astonished. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 6, he says this. Notice it on the screen. He says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And so what the Apostle Paul wants the church in Galatia to understand is this: the gospel of grace sets people free. The gospel of grace does not thrust people deeper into bondage and deeper further under a yoke of slavery. But that's what these Judaizers were doing in the context. They were placing a yoke of slavery back onto the people. Observe this ritual. Embrace this dietary restriction. Work really hard to fulfill this legal demand. Then you can be saved. That was the message of the Judaizers. And no, no, says the Apostle Paul, no. The good news of the gospel is the news that you and I could never contribute anything to our own salvation, because you and I could never fulfill the law of God perfectly. But Jesus Christ has done it. He has done it on your behalf and on mine. He has done it in your place and in my place. Therefore, here's the thrust: the demands of the law no longer hang over our heads. That's what Paul is communicating through this letter. Rather, the demands of the law have been fulfilled in our hearts through Jesus Christ, that his perfect righteousness becomes ours, that his perfect obedience becomes ours, not by works of the law, but by grace through faith. That is the good news of the gospel. So Paul is defending here, you need to understand, the gospel of grace in Galatians, but really important, Paul is also in this letter defending his own apostolic authority. Now, this is really important for us to understand, that because Paul was combating the Judaizers' emphasis on law-keeping, they began to accuse him of being liberal, of one that didn't really care about obedience. And this is why Paul says what he says in verse 13 of our text. Notice it again. He says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers." Watch this. This is why he says this now. "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Now, because Paul was dispelling the notion that law keeping was required for salvation, they were accusing him, the Judaizers were accusing Paul, saying that he was saying that grace was a license to sin. So, lest the Galatians think that freedom in Christ means that you can just go ahead and do whatever you want, Paul clarifies. He says, no, no, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh.
Now there's so much happening in this, even just this one verse that I want to show you. Paul is combating here in our text, and specifically throughout the letter to the Galatians, he's combating two very opposite but equally destructive ways of viewing the gospel. I wonder if any of us need to understand this today. Two destructive ways of viewing the gospel is what Paul is combating here. First on the screen, he's combating this destructive way of viewing the gospel through the lens of legalism. And he's combating this destructive way of viewing the gospel through the lens of liberalism. So legalism on one side, liberalism on the other side. Both are dangerous because, listen now, both are ultimately self-serving. And any form of Christianity that is self-serving is a false and heretical perversion of true and biblical Christianity. So let me share with you what I read from John MacArthur on a Ligonier blog post recently. He wrote this, listen, self-centeredness has no place in the church. That ought to go without saying. But from the dawn of the apostolic era until today, self-love in all its forms has plagued the fellowship of the saints. In our fleshly fallen state, we are all beset with a tendency towards selfishness. It is no minor infraction, no petty character flaw, and no small threat to the soundness of our faith. Listen, every false teaching and every rebellion against God's authority is ultimately rooted in a fleshly desire to have preeminence. In effect, MacArthur says, to claim for oneself the glory that properly belongs to Christ. And so these false teachers, the Judaizers, were seeking their own form of self-glory through legalism, observance of the rules. And the Judaizers were falsely accusing Paul, of seeking his own form of self-glory through liberalism. The legalist says, I can earn my salvation with my good works. Paul says, no. The liberal says, I can do whatever I want because salvation is by grace. Again, Paul says, no. The legalist is remarkably self-serving because their happiness, their joy, their contentment is ever rooted in their ability to do good works, to obey the law, to conform to the rules. What's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem. It's all about them. It's self-serving. The liberal, on the other hand, is also remarkably self-serving because their happiness and their joy and their contentment is ever rooted in their so-called freedom to do whatever they want to do. What's the problem there? The same problem as the legalist. It's all about them. Self-serving. But what the gospel of Jesus Christ does, Paul says, is it sets us free. And he's showing us here, it sets us free from our sinful inclination to serve ourselves, specifically in this text, self-serving, our serving ourselves through legalism or through liberalism. So Paul is dismantling both ideas, because both ideas are perversions of true Christianity. And therefore, both ideas are detrimental to the Church of Jesus Christ, because both ideas promote at their core the exaltation of self and the preeminence of self. Legalism, obey the rules, fulfill the law, then you'll be accepted by God. And when we feel like we're obeying the rules, all of a sudden we have satisfied ourselves. or what they were accusing Paul, liberalism. We're saved by grace so we can just do whatever we want, indulging in self, satisfying self, doing whatever we want, both loved ones, self-serving and both ideas Paul seeks to dismantle because they're perversions of the gospel. Now, loved ones, I wonder if you're watching this, listening to this right now, I wonder if you and I can identify with either of these tendencies in our own lives. Just think about that. I'm wondering if there's anyone watching that takes pride in their ability to obey the rules, such that you're observing all the rules, you're obeying all the rules, such that you feel like your salvation depends on it. It's self-serving. It's self-satisfying. But I wonder if on the other side, there's people watching, and maybe that's not your bent, that's not your tendency, but maybe you're watching right now or listening to this message, and you've been taking advantage of the grace of Jesus Christ, such that you've been serving yourself by doing whatever you want. Loved ones, Paul is communicating here that the gospel of Jesus sets us free. Free from serving ourselves in any way, specifically here, either through legalism or through a liberal mindset. Paul is saying that there is a better way to live. You have been set free. Set free from serving yourself. Are you serving yourself today? Is your life all about you today? Are you locked up in social isolation in your home and it's just become all about you today? There is a better way, loved ones. There is a better way to live. We have been set free from that. To do what then? Let me show you. Through Jesus Christ, we have been set free from serving ourselves, number one. Secondly, and finally, write this down. Through Jesus Christ, we have been set free, here it is, to serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, we have been set free to serve one another. Remember, the Christian life has never been meant to be lived out alone. Notice the text, verse 13 now. Look at it in your Bibles. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Here it is now. But through love. Here is the exhortation. Here is the command. But through love, Hope Church, Toronto West. But through love, serve one another. This, loved ones, is more of the beauty of the common life that believers share with one another in Jesus Christ. Christians have been set free from serving ourselves to serving one another. Now, there are four basic words in the New Testament that translate serve or servant or serving. And we need to understand this word if we're going to understand the power of what's being told to us today. The concept is used about 300 times in the New Testament, but the usage of the word serve here in Galatians is the strongest use of the word serve. What does it mean? It literally means to be a slave, to obey, to submit. It describes serving one another in the most devoted sense. Now, I don't want you to miss the powerful paradox here, because there is a paradox and it's powerful. Paul says that we have been set free. Watch this. Set free to become slaves. Do you see the paradox? Paul says we have been set free to become slaves. Now, this is a powerful paradox. And the scriptures, by the way, are full of these kind of things. Now, this is a powerful paradox because if we understand the meaning of Paul's words here, we can then begin to enter a new realm of flourishing as believers in Jesus Christ, and specifically as a fellowship. So I want you to notice first that the command to serve one another is made possible by the gospel. We can't do this in our flesh. Our flesh does not want to do this, but because of the gospel, we are set free to serve. Paul is talking about a supernatural way of relating to each other, a way of relating to each other that we need to see flourish in our church because of the gospel. This is the context of the whole letter. Jesus sets us free from the slavery and yoke of sin. And it's this freedom, then, Paul says, that releases us to serve. So important. Notice also the very specific connection that Paul makes to the community of faith. He doesn't have to make this connection, but he makes this very specific connection. Notice it in verse 13, he says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," here it is now, "but through love serve one another." He's bringing it all back to this community. For freedom is to result in some kind of impact on one another. Our freedom because of the gospel of Jesus is to result, I'll say it again, in some kind of impact on one another. Now, what exactly is the impact we are to have on one another? Well, it's seen in the paradox. Notice it. In Christ, we are set free to become servants of one another. And listen, not just servants when it's convenient for us, not just servants when it puts us in a good light before others, not just servants when it makes us feel good about ourselves, but we are to serve one another in love. I want you to notice what Gene Getz said about this on the screen. He said, as believers, notice this, we are to give ourselves totally to one another. Just stop and think about that for a moment. As believers, we are to give ourselves totally to one another. To literally become slaves to one another. What a contrast to modern society. Look at the newsstands and survey the titles of current magazines with their focus on me and myself. The thrust of these publications are that I am important. My rights are what are the most significant thing. If my rights conflict with your rights, I come first. Let me repeat what Gene Getz said at the beginning of the quote. He said, as believers, we are to give ourselves totally to one another. Loved ones, just stop and think for a moment. What does that sentence do to your heart? What happens in your heart when you hear Gene Getz say, as believers, we are to give ourselves totally to one another? When you hear that, do you lean in or do you pull back? When you hear that, well, what happens in your heart? Does it inspire you or does it worry you? What happens in your heart when we hear the Apostle Paul say, but through love, we are to serve one another in such a way as to give ourselves to each other, to be as devoted as we possibly can be to each other, to not consider myself first, but to serve one another? What does that do in your heart?
I read a little bit this week about the life of Dawson Trotman. He's the founder of an evangelistic ministry that for sure you've heard about called The Navigators. I read this about the late Dawson Trotman. It said this in this post that I was reading. The late Dawson Trotman was visiting Taiwan on one of his overseas trips. During the visit, he hiked with a Taiwanese pastor back into one of the mountain villages to meet with some of the national Christians. The roads and trails were wet and their shoes became very muddy. Later, someone asked this Taiwanese pastor what he remembered most about Dawson Trotman. Without hesitation, the man replied, "He cleaned my shoes." How surprised this humble national pastor must have been to arise the next morning and to realize that the Christian leader from America had arisen before him and cleaned the mud from his shoes. And such a spirit of servanthood marked Dawson Trotman throughout his Christian life. He died as he lived, actually giving up his life to rescue someone else from drowning. Here's the line that captured me. Someone asked this Taiwanese pastor what he remembered most about Dawson Trotman. Without hesitation, the man replied, "He cleaned my shoes." Not he was a great preacher. Not he was a gifted leader. Not he was a brilliant strategist. Not he was an effective evangelist. Not he was a wonderful servant of God on the mission field, but this, he cleaned my shoes. Just get that picture of servanthood. This, loved ones, is likely one of the most compelling things about the Church of Jesus Christ in the world, is that we have been set free from serving ourselves, satisfying ourselves, and we have been set free to serve one another, to clean each other's shoes. That we've been set free from the self-centered desire to be known. We've been set free from the self-centered tendency to want to be great. We have been set free from this self-centered tendency to want to be esteemed, to want to be comfortable. We've been set free. Loved ones, here it is again. It means so much to me in my preparation this week. We have been set free to clean each other's shoes. It reminds me of our Savior. It reminds me of our ultimate example. It reminds me of the gospel. Just before he was betrayed, Jesus Christ, the one who was sustaining the universe by the word of his power. This Jesus in John chapter 13 went on his knees to wash the filthy feet of his disciples, and particularly the one he knew would turn around and betray him in just a short, short time. Jesus was the kind of servant who would clean shoes, humble, gentle, giving himself to people through love. Hey, loved ones, when was the last time that we cleaned one another's shoes? You understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm getting at. When was the last time we thought about others
as more important than ourselves, that we gave ourselves to each other in love, to serve each other, not to satisfy ourselves, but to serve one another in ways that made us uncomfortable, in ways that was so inconvenient for us, perhaps, in ways that were hard and difficult. When was the last time you cleaned someone's shoes in our church? This is what we're being called to. We've been set free by the gospel, not to serve ourselves, not to live for ourselves, but now to consider the community of faith and to, through love, serve one another, to give ourselves to each other in the most devoted sense. Loved ones, I believe that we are living in a time that demands this kind of witness to the world. You know these are strange days. You know, you're experiencing this. We're experiencing this together in isolation. You know these are strange days. These are unprecedented days. These are dark days. And what this dark world needs to see is the light of Jesus, the example of Jesus, how lived through people who don't serve themselves anymore, but who serve one another. These are days we have opportunity to be creative and to consider how we will consider each other better than ourselves and give ourselves to each other in an act of service. God's word is calling us, and allow me to humbly call us, church, together. No more serving ourselves. Serving one another. What do we want people to see in us when they look at our church? What do you want people to see in you when they look at your life? What do we want people to remember most about us? Oh, how I pray that when asked what people remember about Hope Church, they could respond without hesitation. They cleaned my shoes. They served and they cleaned my shoes. Oh, that God would make us a community. Right now, as you're being convicted by the Spirit, I pray, and I pray this with faith, and I'm preaching this message by faith. Oh, how I pray that as we listen to this word, we embrace it, we obey it, and we live it. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but Hope Church, through love, serve one another. Let's pray together. Oh God, I pray. I pray and trust that your word would be used so powerfully right now in the lives of so many in our church. All of us, God, may we be a people who know the beauty of the gospel that Jesus served us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Oh, how I pray, Lord, that with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we would be compelled to live this way towards one another. God, help us to be people who kneel down and wash feet. Help us to be people who get up early to clean shoes. Help us to be people who serve in the ways that are available to us. Not for a badge of honor, but as an act of obedience through genuine love. I pray that now. You are worthy of our lives lived out this way. I pray that we would see your worthiness and that we would worship you by serving one another through love in our church. May it be so, O Lord, may it be so.
In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.